Girls and boys, if you'll just come to attention now, and somebody give us a hymn to sing. When you girls have a hymn, would you like to sing? All right, what's your... Pardon? Number 7? 57. Number 57. You got number 57? There's a friend for little 65. When God's judgment fell on Egypt, there was weeping everywhere. Afar the angels smote the firstborn of the people dwelling there. Amen. That's in the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, if you want to look in your Bibles. The second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In the 25th verse of Luke 2. Luke 2 and the 25th verse. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. I just want to read those verses for now. And dear boys and girls, I think it's a marvelous thing that there's a dear old man, and God had told him, Simeon, you're going to die. You're going to die. But that dear old man, you know, now you and I would say, well, he was quite a religious man. He was a good man. But you know what he didn't have peace yet about his death. But the Lord God said to him, Simeon, before you die, you're going to see the Lord's Christ. Oh, I think that's lovely. You're going to see the Lord's Christ. And the parents brought in this little baby. He was only 8 days old. And when they brought him in, Simeon, that old man I know, I'm quite sure he had a long white beard. And he walked over and he picked up a little baby in his arms like that. And you know the first thing he did? He blessed God, it said. Do you know what that means? He thanked God. He thanked God. Oh, have you ever done that yet? Have you ever thanked God? And what did he thank God for? He thanked God for a little baby in his arms. He thanked God for a little baby 8 days old in his arms. Why? Why did he thank God for a little bit of a baby 8 days old in his arms? God says, you're going to see the Lord's Christ. The Lord's Christ. And when he saw that little baby, he says, I have in my arms the Lord's Christ. The Lord's Christ. And you know what he said? First of all, he thanked God for that Lord's Christ. And then the next thing he said was this. Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. He says like this. I can go out of this world now in peace. In peace. Why could he go out in peace? Why could he go out in peace? Because he is a devout man and worked in the temple and did all the ordinances that he should do. Was that why? No. That wasn't why. The reason he did that was because he saw the Lord's Christ. The Lord's Christ. And what else did he say? I think in his heart he said like this. This little baby one day is going to die for old Simeon. This little baby one day will die for Simeon. Way back in the Old Testament, I've read of many sacrifices. I've read of this lamb being killed and that animal being killed. And I've read of that little lamb being killed the night of the Passover. I've read of its blood being shed. Now I have in my very hands the Lamb of God that's going to shed his blood for me. And now I can depart in peace. And you know what we sang in one of those hymns? According to thy word. Oh, I loved that when we sang it. It's according to God's word, isn't it? According to God's word. Isn't that lovely? Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. What did he say next? Oh, lovely, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, girls and boys, may I ask you, have you ever yet seen God's salvation? Do you know where it is? Do you know where it is? It's a real person. It's a person. May I tell you, when I was coming down the plane, we sat beside an old lady, and right beside her was a lady who was a Christian too. Found out she was a Christian. Found out, I may tell you, by her dress that our dear brother mentioned yesterday, I found out that she was a Christian. But I just asked the Lord, Lord, if this lady is a Christian, because the dress I see, the way she's dressed, help me to get acquainted with her. Help me to get acquainted with her. And we had a little conversation. I found out she was a real Christian. But the old lady in between us, she says, you know, she talked about her religion. She says, I've learned a lot about religion here in Canada. And since I've come over here, you have more religion here than we have over here in England and so forth. And I says, I hope you'll notice when we talk that our religion is a person. Our religion is a person. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And as we talk back and forth, this other dear woman, a real true child of God. But may I tell you, friends, that this dear, blessed, precious Savior, this little baby that's 8 days old, what did he do? He lived in this world for 33 and a half years. But the last 3.5 years of his life, you know, he went out publicly. He went out publicly in this world, and what did he do? Well, he showed to the people who he was. He was showing who he was. You know, way back in Egypt, when this boy gave out that hymn about the judgment in Egypt, you know what they're to do with the little lamb? They're to take that little lamb and keep that little lamb for 4 days, 3 days, I think it was, from the 10th day till the 14th day, or 4 days they're to do it. You know what to do that for? You know why they did that? That was to show. Every day they'd go in and look at that little lamb and see if there's any spot or blemish on it. And if there was, they were to reject it. They weren't to use that lamb. They kept it those days to have a look at it and to be sure. And you know, the Lord was here for 33 and a half years, but the last 3.5 years of the life, you know what he was doing then? What was happening then? You know what was happening? They said, the centurion, that's the man who's ahead of 100 soldiers, he says, truly, this man is the Son of God. And many people had to turn around and say, he is God. That person is God. And so on the cross of Calvary, at that time, he went up to the cross of Calvary. And what took place there? Oh, girls and boys, before he went there, I was reading before I came to the meeting this morning. It said, all night long they took that precious Savior. They scourged his back. They sent him up to Herod. Herod put crowns of thorns on him. He came back and he was scourged. And after all that, you know what took place? It says they laid a cross on him. And it says, he, bearing his cross, went forth. You know why? You know why he did that? You know why he went forth? And I want to ask you, did God say at that time, oh, you've treated my son, you've treated him all this time, and now you've nailed him, you're going to put him on a cross. I'm going to stop you in that. Did he say that? No. Do you know why? I want to tell you, the Lord wanted Simeon in heaven. He wanted you in heaven. He wanted me in heaven. And the Lord says that the only way that I can have Simeon in heaven and those girls and boys in heaven is for me to bear that cross, to bear the cross. And so he went up there to Mount Calvary and on that cross. And you know, when he's going up, those people thought they were going to lose him. They thought maybe he'd die before he got there because he had spent all night long in that awful agony with crown of thorns in his head and the bruises on his back. And now walking up there to the cross, up to Mount Calvary with that heavy cross on his back, you know, they thought, well, maybe he'll die before he get there. But so they took the cross and put it on another man so they wouldn't lose him. Oh, friends. There he hung on the cross. You know when he went on the cross? When you go to school at 9 o'clock, that was the time that they put the cross in that hole in the ground. And then they mocked him for 3 long hours, till noon. Till 12 o'clock noon, they mocked him, spitting in his face. All that he suffered for you. He suffered that for me, but that wasn't all. Did God then turn around and say, that's all you can do to my son. I won't let you do any more. That's the end of it. I'll take him down now. That's the end of it. No, girls and boys, he didn't do that. What did he do? Oh, I want to tell you, he just clothed the whole heavens in darkness. You know what made that darkness? My sins. My sins, yours, laid on the head of the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Yes, they were. What took place there? What took place there? God says like this, no, I won't take him down from the cross. But I'll heap on his head suffering 1,000 times more than man ever did. I'll do that to my son. How long did he do it? How long did he do it? How long did he bear that suffering? Till the Lord Jesus said, it is finished. It's finished. Oh, how lovely, friends. What about Simeon now? Peace for Simeon. Peace for me. Peace for you. Will you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I remember telling this to dear boys and girls at home one time. I says, girls and boys, he suffered all that for you. Have you ever thanked him yet? Have you ever thanked him yet? You know, the next week a dear little girl came to me, and after the meeting was over, just tapped me in the trousers. I turned and I says, what is it, Annie? She says, last Thursday night, I went home, and I thanked the Lord Jesus for dying for me on the cross, and I've thanked him every night since. Oh, girls, have you ever done it yet? Have you ever done it yet? Have you ever taken into your heart the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed him as your Lord? It makes me think of a dear man many of us know way down in Bermuda. This dear man's father and mother were Christians. He was brought up under the truth like I was. He's brought up under the truth and he heard the truth. This dear young man, dark as he was, you know, the gospel was given out faith of that night. That man was exercised. You didn't talk with him after the meeting. And you know, people said, yeah, you're saved. I think you're saved. You can tell your mother you're saved. And so with a little talk with this dear man, and we said like this to him, I think you can tell your mother something better than you're saved. He says, what can I tell my mother better than I'm saved? He says, can't you tell your mother tonight that you took the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? He says, yes, I can. You know what he did after? That dear colored-faced boy walked back in the hall and met his dear old colored-faced mother and said these words, mother, tonight, as a poor sinner, I took the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You think he'd have to tell his mother then he was saved? No, he wouldn't. May I tell you, dear brethren, something that I did enjoy from the lips of that dear man a few years ago in Bermuda, when I come up there and was breaking bread with those dear people there, just a few, about 10 there, colored people, as we sat in the meeting and waited with the loaf on the table and the wine there, this dear brother got up, went over the table and said these words, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for these forget-me-nots on the table. Oh, I enjoyed that. Oh, I enjoyed that. Two forget-me-nots. We're going to have them on the table this morning. Two forget-me-nots on the table. What are they? The death of Christ. The sufferings of Christ. We're going to have them this morning. May I tell you something else we're going to have this morning, girls and boys? We're going to have in our presence this morning the little baby that was in the arms of Simeon. We're going to see, and by the eye of faith, what the Lord has said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That same blessed person is going to be in our midst this morning. He's promised to be. You know, there's a time back in the history of this world after he raised from the dead that he actually did stand in the midst of his people. And you know what he said? Ah, when he stood there, what did he do? Oh, friends, and he'll do it again. He's doing it again this morning as we sit in this blessed, glorious presence. What's he going to do? The same thing. He's going to do like this with the hands of with those hands. He'd look like this. Have you ever looked at them? You know what I've told some people recently? When I gaze on the hands of the Lord Jesus in glory, what am I going to do forever? Just say, your sins put those marks there. Your sins put those marks there. This morning he says like this, those hands, peace unto you. Peace unto you. Oh, lovely, precious words. The Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that Simeon might be in glory, that I might be in glory, that you might be in glory. But oh, boys and girls, may I tell you, I can't take Christ for you. Your mother can't do it. You know, I was telling a dear old man in my office, and I hope that dear old man takes Christ as Savior. He's an old man too. just the day before I left, this old man had been working for him quite a few years, he's getting older. I just said like this to him the other day, and I'm glad there was a little response at least. I says, "Mr. K.A., you're getting older." "Yes." And I says, "You're soon going to leave this world," something like Simeon. "Yes." I says, Mr. K.A., are you going up or down?" And he says, "I hope to go up. I hope to go up." And I says, Mr. K.A., though, what are you depending on? You're only hoping to go up. "I know I'm going up. I know I'm going up." And he says, "Well, I'm trying to do the best I can. Trying to do the best I can." I says, "But Mr. K.A., did you ever tell a lie?" "Yes." But I says, "My Bible tells me, and your Catholic Bible tells you too, there shall not enter into it anything that defileth or maketh a lie." So I says, "Mr. K., you can't be there with one lie upon you. You can't be." "But oh, Mr. K., there's a lovely verse in your Bible that says like this, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Oh, Mr. K., may I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ, as that hymn was given out, that's what will shelter you from judgment. And I told him something else. I said, "Mr. K., if you would only do this, will you do this? Will you go home and get those two knees and bend them before the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them that you're only a poor sinner, that you believe he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for you, and I want to tell you, he'll wash your sins away in his own precious blood, and I'll meet you in glory." You know what he said, the dear old man? He says, "You talk from your heart to my heart. You talk from your heart to my heart." He says, "I enjoy what you say. Oh, I hope he takes my Savior, don't you? Don't you?" That dear old man, I says, "Christ died for you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting these years for you to be saved." And I said, "If you take him as a Savior, tell all those people back in your country there, those French people, tell them about that Savior that died for you. Won't you do that?" May I tell you something else, girls and boys, the time is going. May I tell you something? The Lord has given us those forget-me-not that I talked about this morning. You know what for? How long? How long has he done it? Till we die? No, he says this, till I come. Till I come. Isn't that nice? Till I come. Is he coming again? The same one with the hands, with those moons? Yes, coming again. Coming again. May I ask you, have you ever asked him to come? You ever in the morning say, "Lord Jesus, come"? Have you ever said that? Oh, have you ever invited him to come? He's coming. He's coming again. He says, "I want you never to forget what I did for you, and do it till I come." He's coming again, girls and boys. And may I ask you, will he find you where? Will he find you on the outside or the inside? Will he look into your heart and say, "I see in that girl's heart my son, the Lord Jesus"? You know, there's many, many people in this world who are going around, and friends, they are going around with the name of Christian upon them. They're going around with the name of Christian upon them. They have Christ pronounced upon them. And they're passing as Christians outwardly. But I want to tell you, to have the name of Christ pronounced upon you doesn't make you a Christian unless you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior. There's a verse in 1 John 5 and 12 that says this, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." I was thinking of what brother said yesterday, there is no middle ground. Brother suggested there's no middle ground, didn't he? One man asked, "Isn't there a middle course we can take?" No middle course, girls and boys, no middle course. When the Lord Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, there were two thieves beside him. And I read about those two thieves. They both, it says, cast the same in his teeth. What was that they cast in his teeth? The people down the blood of the cross and say, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Show us that you're God by coming down." Says, the thieves cast the same in his teeth. There was no difference between those two men at all at that time, was there? But you know what happened there at that time? Here's what happened. One of those thieves heard beside him these words, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." He heard that voice. You know what he said? I think he stopped and said, "Who is this beside me that's talking to who? Who's this? that says, Father, who's his father? Oh, right away he got into the presence of God. I know he did, because he said to the other thief, Dost not thou fear God? Ah, he found himself in God's presence. Have you ever been there yet? Have you ever been there yet? It'll bring you into fear. That man feared right away, and then as soon as he did fear, what did he say? He says, I'm guilty. I'm getting what I deserve. You're getting what you deserve, the other thief. But this man hath done nothing amiss. You know what I feel he said right there in his heart? Oh, he's going to die. And he did nothing amiss. Then why is he dying? Why is he dying? Why is God letting that person die that did nothing amiss? I believe he saw it right there. Oh, I see it all. He's going to die for my sins. And what did he do? He says, Lord. He took Jesus into his heart as a Lord. He was saved on the spot. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And I may tell you, God didn't tell him he must get baptized, he must join a church, he must turn over a new leaf. Didn't say anything about that at all, did he? He just opened his heart and took the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and was saved on the spot. And the Lord says, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Isn't that lovely? Oh, how lovely. But what about the other thief? The other thief, we never read of him repenting or taking Christ as a Savior. I might just say this. That middle cross of Calvary divides the world into two parts. Not into 1,300 religions as the world does, but into two parts only. No middle course, no middle ground. What are they? Girls, listen. Boys, listen. I'm either with the thief that owns Jesus as Lord and take him into my heart as my Savior, or I'm with the thief that won't have him. The cross of Christ divides this whole room into two parts. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you on the road to glory? The Lord is coming. Girls and boys, I want to tell you, you better hurry up. You better hurry up if you're not saved. You better hurry up. Why? The Lord may come while we're having this meeting. He may come at any moment. You know, I'm just going to tell you one little story before I finish. We were down at the tent meetings a few years ago, and after the little meeting was over, a dear sister said, there's a few girls inside here that want you to talk to them. So I went in, and a few little girls in a little group were sitting there, and I began to tell them, ask them what they wanted me to talk about. They were anxious about their souls, especially one girl. And while we were talking, explaining the gospel to them, one little girl turned to the other girl and she says, Elizabeth, it is not hard, Elizabeth. All you have to do, Elizabeth, is open your heart as a sinner and take Christ in as your Savior. That's all you have to do, Elizabeth. And I turned to this little girl and I says, you're saved. When did you get saved? You took Christ as your Savior, didn't you? She says, yes, I did. I did that this morning when you were speaking. Isn't that nice? I thought that was lovely. I did that this morning when you were speaking there. Oh, girls, isn't that easy? Isn't that lovely? Open your heart right now where you sit. You can take Christ as your Savior right now, can't you? Can't you? Oh, I'll just say one thing more. The Lord wants to take you into, to put your sins away, but you must take your place as a guilty sinner and accept Him as your Savior. And your answer is one of two things. There's two answers you can give. You can say yes or no. Which is it going to be? Which is it going to be? Are you going to say yes to the Lord Jesus? Are you going to say yes to Him? I hope my dear old friend at home will bow those knees. Do you know why? There's a day coming He's going to do it. He's going to do it someday. Why not do it now willingly and take Christ your Savior? Our time is going. I know we have to get out of the hall, so we'll sing a hymn. The girls, the boys got a hymn. This girl here. Yeah? Pardon? 54. Yeah, that's a nice hymn. I like that. I like it because it says, when Jesus says, Lord, I had crowned my heart with His peace to abound. 54. There comes to my heart a sweet spring, a glad and a joyous refrain. I sing it again.
Peace.